This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Reagan Mertz, here with your top stories this Monday. Carbondale Rural Fire Protection District responded to a small fire south of Catherine Store Road yesterday. The fire only grew to 0.6 acres and was put out within a few hours, but crews shut power off to some neighboring communities for firefighter safety. The agency did not specify the cause of the fire. Glenwood Springs City Council will wait to decide whether to increase fares for its on-demand ride service. Fares are currently $1, but on-demand rides would need to be $12 for the city to break even. The program is subsidized by a matching grant with the Roaring Fork Transportation Authority. City staff recommended raising the fare to $3 per ride or separate the city into three zones with three separate prices, ranging from $1 to $4. However, city councilors want more data before they make any decisions. Mayor Pro Tem Aaron Zielinski said that in the zone model, a resident in South Glenwood may have to cross three zones to get to the other side of town, paying more than the average rider. She said this is inequitable because South Glenwood has the least amount of public transportation.
And I'm afraid we're going to artificially affect the data we might gather by pricing it in a way that doesn't have equity.
City staff are planning a future work session to continue discussions, and for now, fares will stay $1 per ride. In regional news, monsoon rains forecast for later this month could ease some of the worst of our region's drought conditions. But as Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanez reports, that precipitation comes with its own hazards.
Many fires this summer have burned in challenging terrain for firefighters, like the Gold Mountain Fire in the mountains near Ouray, the Ferris Fire near the Dolores River, and the Babylon Fire in the canyons of Bears Ears National Monument. Daniel Swain, a weather and climate scientist with the University of California and the National Science Foundation in Boulder, says the monsoon rains could impact those areas.
There's some steep canyons there, some very steep slopes that have burned that would tend to increase the risk of flash floods or debris flows. And so, you know, it might not take as much rain or as intensive rain as would historically have been the case to cause a flash flood or debris flow.
Despite the risk of post-fire debris flows, he says precipitation would make firefighting conditions easier and reduce the risk of new fires breaking out. Swain also says it's unlikely that monsoon rains would make a real dent in the prolonged drought conditions in the region. For that, we'd need several wet winters in a row. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
After 25 years of winemaking in Canyon City, it looks like the winery at Holy Cross Abbey may soon close. KRCC's Shauna Lewis reports.
During the last quarter century, the winery at the historic monastery has won more than 1,200 awards in international competitions. It's even a selected wine at Yellowstone National Park. But now its owner, Larry Otto, plans to retire, according to a recent press release. He says, "It's a gut-wrenching decision, but if he can't find a buyer, the winery will shut down at the end of September." Shauna Lewis, KRCC News.
The already strong El Niño is strengthening, a trend with potentially significant implications for the intense and now tragic fire season. The Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse has the details.
During El Niño, equatorial Pacific Ocean temperatures are above normal. There are global effects, and in the American West, they are geographically varied. Climatologist Abby Frazier says they often bring more moisture to the Southwest, which can reduce fire risk in the short term.
A little bit further north and inland, El Niño is likely going to bring drier, warmer conditions. Putting that into potential fire danger, right, drier and warmer may lead to more wildfire risk.
A broad swath from western Colorado to the Northwest is expected to have above average risk of significant wildfire through the end of August. After that, just the Northwest will remain at higher risk, according to federal forecasts. By October, normal fire risk is expected for the entire country. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
In statewide news, an airplane fighting the Gold Mountain Fire crashed yesterday evening. The Gunnison County Sheriff's Office reported a plane went down in Silverjack Reservoir, a popular recreation spot nearby. One person was thought to be on board. Late Sunday, the Gunnison County Sheriff's Office said their status is unknown. A dive team was assisting as of last night. Two wildfires, the Aspen Acres and the Ferris Fire, are now among the top 10 largest fires in Colorado history, and thousands of Coloradans are living in makeshift situations right now after evacuations forced them out of their homes. 9-year-old Isabella and her mom had only minutes to evacuate as the Aspen Acres fire approached their home.
It's kind of stressful. I'm kind of nervous what's going to happen to our house. And if it's gone, where else could we go?
The Ferris Fire has burned more than 60,000 acres and is 23% contained. It has burned largely on public land in rural Dolores County. Meanwhile, the Aspen Acres Fire is more than 98,000 acres and 35% contained. Colorado and nearly two dozen other states are suing the Trump administration over Medicaid work requirements. Here's CPR health reporter John Daly.
Attorney General Phil Weiser is part of a coalition of 24 attorneys general and two governors suing over what they call the administration's unlawful implementation of new work requirements for Medicaid enrollees. They were included in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. Congress enacted exemptions to ensure people with serious illnesses and disabilities don't lose coverage or face interruptions in care. But earlier this month, the administration surprised states with a final rule which makes it harder for medically vulnerable people to be excused from the new regulations. The lawsuit was filed to block that. I'm John Daly, CPR News.
The lawmakers who are going to scrutinize Colorado's Medicaid program in the coming months met last week. The Commission on Medicaid will try to manage costs and prepare new federal policies. Michelle Limbaugh is the mother of 24-year-old Andrew, who has intellectual and developmental disabilities and relies on Medicaid.
I hope that they will continue to hear real stories from real families. We're a diverse population.
About 1.3 million Coloradans get health care that's covered by the state's Medicaid program. Its budget has grown sharply, by double digits annually, for the last several years. 7 years ago, Democratic Secretary of State Jenna Griswold launched an exploratory committee for a U.S. Senate bid. She decided a month later not to run, but as CPR's Caitlin Kim reports, that exploratory committee is still active, even as Griswold seeks a different office.
2 days after winning the Democratic nomination for Attorney General, Jenna Griswold updated the paperwork for her Senate Exploratory Committee. It was a minor filing, but it showed the committee is still active. Some campaign finance experts say keeping an exploratory committee open for so long is a bit unusual, since most either convert it to a campaign committee when they enter the race or close it after deciding not to run. A spokesman for Griswold says her exploratory committee was kept open in case Griswold decided to seek a federal office in the future, and that she's considering options like shutting it down or converting it into a political action committee. The spokesman adds Griswold is committed to serving her whole term if she's elected attorney general in November. Caitlin Kim, CPR News.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team, news director Hallie Zander, associate editor Sage Smiley, reporters Michael Finelli and Hannah Weaver, and me, your host, Reagan Mertz. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.